Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, your source for snarky reality TV recaps from all the networks across the board. No one is off limits as I dissect even the tiniest details of our favorite train wrecks. Be sure to follow up between episodes on Twitter and Instagram at Reality TV Pod. Snark with me and fellow listeners on Facebook in the Reality TV Podcast Orchard of Snark group. And for nitty-gritty, unfiltered me, check out bonus episodes at patreon.com/realitypod. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Excuse me? Did you just press play on this podcast? Because you know I am married. I have been engaged, right? Don't be trying to play me for a fool like that car wash attendant taking Andrea's money. We will not take our men off our leash for you, okay? Wow. Well, I don't know about my acting, but that latest episode of Love After Lockup was jaw-dropping, right? I'm actually shocked that the ratings for this show are not higher. I don't know if it's because it's a Friday night show and it's going up against shows like Dateline or maybe people who actually have energy to go out on a Friday night, but I am sticking with this one. I love it. And Andrea loves it as much as I do. And by it, I mean lying through her teeth. Let's begin, shall we? Lamar and Andrea are just like Beyonce and Jay-Z, crazy in love, or two crazies in love. Andrea is crazy because, well, the entire episode was just a sizzle reel of all her craziest hits, and Lamar is crazy for digging her crazy. So she tells him on the drive, "You're all mine. I can kill a bitch. I will hurt a chick, and I will say that in Jesus Christ's name, amen." Oh, wow. Okay. So if you say Jesus Christ during a murder, it doesn't count. That's cool. Well, after that charming little moment, they're driving, enjoying the sunlight. He hasn't had sun on his skin in so long. But you know what? They need a car wash, especially after that 9-hour long drive in the desert, in a cocktail dress and isotoner slippers. So they pull up to a car wash, and the 18-year-old seasonal employee asks if they would like a regular wash or the works. "Yeah, well, we're engaged." "Okay, ma'am, so would you like regular or the works?" Now, Andrea says something about being a valiant body of God, and the woman gave the receipt to him. So in Andrea's mind, she's flirting with him. On what Xenu planet could you ever contort regular or the works into this innocent young woman doing her probably minimum wage job at a car wash? Yeah, this is her elaborate plan to armor all her way into a convicted felon's heart through the driver's seat window. I'm sure she's just been writing about this moment in her Hello Kitty journal for years. Oh, hey, you know what? Have we mentioned that Andrea is Mormon? Because, you know, it's a prereq to remind all of us that she's Mormon every 2.5 minutes. This religious conviction of hers requires her to abstain from sex until marriage. So she's decided that it's okay to do everything else as long as it's not going to get her kicked out of the church. So I ask you this. Is this like oral stuff or booty stuff? Ew. I'd tend to think that Lamar is probably tired of that after 18 years being locked up, let's be honest. If Joe Giudice has a special friend, I guarantee Lamar has had many a special friend over the years. He wants the real stuff. Now, in the car wash, things start to get heated up, and my deeply rooted Catholic instinct was to, oh my God, look away, no, no, it's awkward. But that didn't have to last long, because as Lamar's hand started lurching, Andrea threw his shirt over the camera. Another one. May I ask you this? How long is this car wash? My favorite car wash that's just like that is, what, 3 minutes tops? Like, why even bother get started with that stuff? It's just too much work. It's lots of disheveling and possible embarrassment. Like, can it wait? Just ask Jonna. It's not going to be worth all the hassle. So after the car wash, they arrive at a newly renovated Holiday Inn Express, maybe a Staybridge Suites or the like, and these two walk in acting like they're checking into the Peninsula or the Ritz. Lamar cannot wait to get to that room, but Andrea has to pretend she's still planning on staying a born-again virgin. So she asked the front desk guy if the room has two beds. He even laughed in her face. Andrea, you've birthed three kids. Stop it with the chastity stuff. If you have C-section or episiotomy scars, I'm pretty sure Jesus would be cool to let some sexy time slide for your pain and trouble. Now, Lamar is about to explode and says, 18 years, no sex? I don't wish that on nobody. I don't know why, but saying nobody like that feels really good. You got to try it. Okay, so you see, Lamar has a reason for being excited. Turns out Andrea has been lying to him in letters. She says, I said I knew all these crazy sexual things. I don't know how to do that stuff. I'm not a gymnast. So let's get this straight. So far, we know Andrea has lied to her friends and the church about Lamar being in Canada with Jan Brady's boyfriend, George Glass. Lied to Lamar about her being ready to whip out the sex swing. And or lied to us about her abstaining from sex with Lamar until marriage. Because let's be real. Now, once inside the room after that magical keyless entry, wait till he sees how lazy boys are just a touch of the button now. These two act like the room is the master bedroom of the Royal Emiratis in Dubai. The power button is on the bottom of the TV. Oh, okay, Mr. Moneybags. You know there's an ice machine in the hallway to share? Let me guess, studded with diamonds, right? Now, speaking of diamonds, Lamar wants his woman to be happy. I want to feel her and treat her like she deserves in a sexual way. I can't explain it, but I was watching this with Mr. Reality TV, and I got the same awkward feeling you get when a KY commercial or a Viagra commercial comes on and you're with your parents. Like, oh my God, I don't know what that is, Mom. It's so weird. You neither, right? So strange. What are they talking about? Well, Andrea responds that he's not getting into this good stuff unless we're married. I'm not going to go to hell with you. We can do everything all day and night once we're married. Yet then when they close the door, we hear her say, let's have some fun. So they're not holding out at all, in my opinion. She has to make it look and sound like she's waiting until marriage because of her church and her church friends. And I bet she was lying to us, and she really does know how to do some acrobatic shit in the bedroom. She wasn't keeping those calf muscles loosened up in those house slippers for nothing. It's like a runner, right? Before and after a marathon, your body is your vessel. You got to treat it right. Got to keep those little tootsies happy. All right, so let's head to my region of the country where we eat a lot of cheese and casseroles, and sausage is the main favorite food group. Ala and James are all canoodly and kissy face because the novelty hasn't worn off, and they haven't yet had to argue over who's going to empty the dishwasher or who didn't change the toilet paper roll again. James is meeting her parents for the first time tonight, and Ala is nervous because her father is reserved and doesn't like to meet new people. This was really surprising to me because Ala's dad kind of has a friendly face. Or maybe when I saw him, I automatically see a sad man in a vintage True Religion denim shirt, and I just feel a pang of compassion for him. Olive's parents, Yelena and Dimitri, greet the couple as they arrive to their very reflective split-level home. There's caviar waiting for them and wine that is not warm from James. The boring part of this meal was the questions for James and how he's going to treat Ala and the parents' fears about heroin, yada, yada, yada. The amazing part of the meal was the fantasy of lights and mirrored surfaces in this home. There were LED lights that changed color built into the fireplace facade, which was shiny and reflective, of course, a mirrored hutch, glass tables, and marble or marble effect everywhere. Black lacquer furniture, a bright blue tablescape, if you will, jewel tone painted walls. It was everything Sybil Shepherd's apartment wanted to be in moonlighting had she decided to update from the mid-80s pastel color story. So it's on to the ring shop for these two. Nothing to worry about here. Haven't known each other even a year yet. She's an addict, just released from prison with no structure in her life, living in different states, newly separated, father of two. Side note, I just read that James may or may not be still legally married, and he's got two kids. So yeah, why not go buy some jewelry that you can contest on Judge Judy later? So they head to a jeweler who looks exactly like Steve Lodge, Vicky Gumbelson's boyfriend, also the brother of Roger Lodge, former host of a little show called Blind Date. They all have the same teeth structure and overbite. Ala tried on a 3-stone emerald cut ring and tells Brother Lodge that they met in prison. So cute, right? I bet they didn't teach you how to respond to that one at Jared University. Well, Ala's fingers must have swelled from the salty caviar because she cannot get the ring off her finger. She's yanking and pulling, and Brother Lodge is about to soil his Dockers, but she finally finagled the thing off. So funny. Now, that was the last of the somewhat lighthearted moments for these two, because the next time we see them, they're meeting up with James's friend, Chris. Chris invites them up to his rooftop, and they're just hanging out. James starts doing the thing that I hate when a group of people get together and someone is introducing their someone new. They just act like a bystander, and they don't try to facilitate the conversation. They just leave it to the new person they brought and their friends and family to ask each other questions. No, you are the middleman. You brought them. Get in there and be the liaison. You got one job. Well, Chris is ready to do his job, and it is abundantly clear to me that he got the producer rundown of questions to ask, much like 90 Day Fiancé Chris when he asked Annie for a massage. He asked Ala how many years she was in, which she says was 7 years, but James said 5, which, by the way, would make sense with what I found and shared on Patreon. Then Chris asks her, "I'm not a weirdo, but what about showering?" That was so producer-driven, but I don't care because, I'm not going to lie, I would have asked someone the same thing. Probably not on camera, but you bet your damn life I'm going to want to know all the details. I don't think Ala was really that offended anyway because she offered up even more info on how they do invasive strip searches, which sounded more violating than a pap smear. Chris seems like equally a straight shooter, even for a guy that enjoys rosé on a nice evening under the stars, relaxing. Hashtag mom life. Well, he tells James that he thinks it's risky making a move so soon. He doesn't think James's family's gonna be supportive. And he even added, "Tread lightly." James agrees, but he's still blinded by love and a younger blonde girl who needs him. So after they leave, James stops to ask Ala on the sidewalk how she feels, because if she thought Chris was harsh tonight, that's going to be nothing to how his family's going to react. Ala doesn't really respond, but she starts digging in her purse, pulls out a cigarette, and starts smoking. Then she looks at a startled and disappointed James and snaps, I know, don't look at me like that. All I saw here was a gigantic red flag pop out of that cigarette like a cartoon pistol. Finally, we get to meet the newest couple that we've been waiting on, Mary and Dominic, Canadian invasion. Mary is 28 and she met Dominic when she was working in a bar. Someone was bothering her and he came to her rescue. Oh, Prince Charming. Now, they were only together for 30 days when Dominic was sent to prison for a bar fight. Now, there are a lot of discrepancies in Mary's timeline of meeting and dating Dominic in this prison thing. I saw this article a couple weeks ago that Starcasm printed, and I'll link it in the show notes because it contains some theories that now seeing this really seem plausible. And it's that these two have actually been married for some time already. It would make sense then that Mary refers to herself in this first episode that we meet her as not a typical prison wife. She says it's because, oh, when she goes out, she doesn't act single. She does what she wants. No one can change her. I don't know. I think we need to put a pin in that theory as we continue watching that they might already be married. Now, also, this bar fight that he was sent to prison for, not just, oh, a little bar fight. Dominic had already been to prison or jail before. And in this one that he's in prison for now, he had beat a guy so severely that he was unconscious, and then he had to be put into an induced coma. Dominic fled the scene, but he later turned himself in. Thankfully, the guy survived, but Mary hopes, oh, even though, you know, he almost killed someone, she hopes that this isn't going to interfere with his future career. Now, Mary confuses me. She's a face shifter. Like, she looks like a different person in every scene. She clearly knows her angles and her photo filters, but she has this very smooth, almost glossy finish, like this cartoon hair and makeup app that my daughter plays on with her iPad. Like, I just can't fully wrap my hands and mind around what her face looks like. Do you know what I mean? Well, over drinks, her friends pretty much roast her about Dominic. And the friend with that cotton noose choker thing around her neck says that Mary's being unrealistic, that Dominic is a different type of guy than he was 6 years ago when he went in. And then Mary calls her a bitch. Somehow, these friends keep going on with the conversation. I've never had a confrontation or conversation with a friend like that, because if I did, I don't think we'd be friends anymore. But here's the good news. After 6 years, they're allowing Mary and Dominic to have a conjugal visit. They get to stay in a prison house and have sex for 3 days alone. Unless you're counting all the spermies that are cemented into every crevice of that prison house, these conjugal visit homes would actually serve as birth control to anyone with a brain, because that place would need to be serviced by a crew in head-to-toe hazmat suits twice before I'd ever consider entering it or having someone enter me in it. Well, here we go, the moment of truth. Mary, her penciled eyebrows, and her Old Navy compression leggings are entering the prison after a four-hour drive to get there. 6 years waiting for this moment and wearing workout gear. Hey, maybe he's into a gym workout fetish. But 30 minutes later, uh-oh, here comes Mary. What happened? Well, they patted her down and they said that she had drugs on her jacket, but she doesn't do drugs or have any, but nevertheless, they won't let her in. Huh. So tell me what you think happened. Did a dog sniff her or something? Was there a little drug bag thingy like I see on the first 48? Or did she pick up secondhand drug residue? I don't know, but I cannot wait to see what happens next week with them. All right, Garrett and Jonna are down in Tampa and hating every second of their time together. It's only been 3 weeks and the wheels have fallen off. Do you not know what a hamper is? Actually, no, Jonna. Not one of them in the entire species knows what one is. They miss the part of the brain that finishes most things, unless it ends with them needing a tissue, towel, or a shower. Jonna is a world-class nagger, and Garrett is a world-class I-don't-give-a-fucker, so they already don't stand a chance. The pressure is still on, however, for Garrett to propose and get Jonna that one-carat ring. She still needs to introduce Garrett to her dad, but she's nervous because her dad expects Jonna to be with someone who can spoil her like he did. Oh, God, not one of these bitches. And she's nervous because Father Jonna and Garrett are both feisty. I think she's confusing the word feisty with felon and father because they all start with the letter F. Well, fast forward to the meeting of Father Jonna. His real name is Tony and Garrett. Tony walks in Fast and Furious style. He is pissed. He's got things to do. He's just ticked off. He's got to waste his time because Jonna's batting 0-for-9. They don't know each other. He doesn't see anything coming of this. Well, Jonna butts in and says, Garrett, he thinks I was your only option. To which her father responds, you were. Tony is like my queen, Judge Judy. I fucking love him. Well, with a quick turn to leave, he says, make me wrong, keep the dog well, bye. I mean, just the best. Well, now we're at the used car lot with Garrett because I need to get a car, you know. I want to stay close to 5,000. I want to go up a couple thousand more. I'm saving for a ring. I need a ring down the road, you know what I'm saying? Well, $5,000 isn't get you anything here, son, so how about some financing? Tell you what, let me go to that back office, make some pretend calls, get you a loan with 45% interest, and then I'll repo it 2 days after your first missed payment, okay? Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Good news, Garrett, you're approved. I mean, this shit for brains used $5,000 of his grandma's money and probably Jonna's house as collateral to get a $13,500 car. He pulls in the driveway and Jonna sees the same color red as that swimsuit cover-up she wore on release day. She comes out of the house going, baby, I've been sitting around 4 years for you to come home and propose. Excuse me, miss, sit right here in a leather seat and the AC is cold. I mean, this was just awesome. She expects a ring with his pretend money, but he spends his pretend money on a car. The body language in that car was all the visual proof we needed to know that this couple is not headed to the nearest car wash. Lastly, we have Oxnard, California's finest, Lizzie and Scott. Scott is heading to pick Lizzie up with his son, Adam. It's been 3 years and Scott is so anxious to see Lizzie and bring her home. His son looks less than thrilled and continues to express his worry that his dad is being scammed. My favorite line of Scott's was, if you really think about it, I'm just a stranger she met on the internet. She's just an inmate. Scott, I don't think it actually takes that much thinking, does it? It's just stating a present state of being. They pull up to the prison gate and Scott is so nervous. He's telling the guard, okay, he's here to pick up his girlfriend. He's here to pick up Lizzie. She's getting out today. And then it was like the scene in Vacation when Clark Griswold and family get to Wally World.
Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park.
Scott holds it together for all of 30 seconds before he has to pull the car over. He's driven 5 hours with his son to pick this chick up, and now he fears that she is indeed a scammer. So he gets out of the car, starts walking through this grove of trees with his hair down, Charles Manson style, and please, for the love of God, don't let those be any kind of fruit trees. that Monsanto doesn't spray cancer on that I might possibly eat, because he starts puking and dry heaving everywhere. I felt worse for Adam when he had to give his own water up for Scott. Like, I hope Scott wasn't just expecting that to be a sharing bottle of water now. Like, no, no, just keep it, Dad. It's all yours. Well, back in the car, after his little tum-tum settles down, Scott apologizes to Adam and admits that, yeah, you know what? It appears Lizzie really is a monster. And you know what? She scammed me. He's sorry for putting his son through this. Lesson learned. Ring, ring, ring. What do you know? It's Lizzie. Lizzie does her best fake cry and is saying she's nervous and scared and doesn't want her baby to think she's pulling a trick on him. To my own surprise, Scott actually said, well, if someone's going to do this, it's going to be you. Well, that just lit Lizzie up, and she starts saying that Scott is full of BS. He has her birth certificate, her social security number, her new clothes that he bought her. How dare he say that she's conning him? Oh, okay, you're right. That's my bad. There's no doubt in my mind that you, me, the rest of the orchard, and Adam all had the same reaction. Like, full 90-degree swivel head, like, what the fuck? And by the way, what does Scott having her birth certificate and social security number supposed to do? Like, what is he going to be doing with that, right? I mean, is he going to be buying a car? No. Is he going to be, what is he going to do? Take out a mortgage with her name on it? It's not going to happen. So that whole you have my stuff is such BS. So we wrap up with Scott all in again. Vomit breath and scraggly hair, but the happiest sucker on earth. We did it. We've met all of our couples now, so we are now officially fully invested. Thanks for listening, and if you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a review on iTunes, and don't forget to click subscribe so new episodes show up automatically in your podcast app. I will be back next week with all new episodes. So in the meantime, join me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at RealityVPod. And as always, stay salty.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.